Welcome to the Savvy Dentist Podcast with Dr. Jesse Green, the show where great dentistry meets great business. Listen in each week as we bring you an inspiring person who will share their story, ideas, and business techniques to help you create a practice and a life you love. And now introducing your host, Dr. Jesse Green.
Well, hey, Gasco, welcome to the Savvy Dentist Podcast. Great to have you here, mate. How are you today?
I'm very well, Jesse. Thank you so much for having me.
Mate, well, you and I have been friends now for a number of years. And for the listeners on our show, Jorge is an intimate part of my business, whether it's our dental practice, whether it's our coaching business. He's the guy that helps me with systems and operations, and he's got an incredible pedigree when it comes to this. And what I really love about Jorge is his ability to focus on strategy as well as tactics. So before we get into that, Jorge, could you just give me a bit of an overview of how you found yourself in this kind of work? Because it's not the average kind of career path that you've had. So I'm wondering if you can share a bit of that with our listeners.
Sure, Jesse, 100%. Well, it's been a long journey. So probably it is for everyone in business, but basically it started, my background is industrial engineering, so which is process engineering, process improvement engineering sort of thing. And my background started in Colombia, which is where I am from originally. So you basically learn a lot of that. And then over time, I went into different spaces of that, being manufacturing, logistics, supply chain management, and project management, and so on. And then I've been always a bit of an entrepreneur in my background. When I was little, since 12, I've been always starting businesses, from selling eggs to selling empanadas, which is like a dumpling sort of thing, at basically door to door with friends and so on. So I've always had that entrepreneurial flair for me. And when I came to Australia, I started working on an engineering company after my studies. And then I realized that really what I wanted to do was to get back into being an entrepreneur and running my own business and all that. Then what is interesting about the story is that I started my own website. I didn't even start it on doing services for people just yet. I started my own website, and it was basically just learning and trial and error, really, on that end. Because at that point in time, that was in 2006, 2007, mm-hmm. There was some education around how to start an online business, but not very much. Mm. So there was big learning that I had to go through and basically learn from creating a WordPress site from the scratch, to understand what is a domain, to understand what is hosting, to understand all that out of nothing, basically just Googling. That was my main tool of training, was Google.
Alta Vista back in the day, mate.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so you become quite resourceful, you know, not in money, but quite resourceful on finding information, really. Mm. So I learned all that. I created my own website, and it was basically making an income based on affiliate marketing, right? Getting a bit of a commission out of people. It was a travel website, so people were just booking things through the website and basically booking accommodation or flights and et cetera. And then I was just getting a bit of a clip from that.
Yeah.
And that was the revenue of the business. That was the business model. And then I managed to pretty much replace my own income that when I was in the engineering company, and then I decided to just go on my own. So the interesting story about that is that the back end of that was the database that I was building in WordPress, and I was building applications, and I had a lot of follow-ups at the back end of that and so on. So it was always the framework of having a database that I could follow up with people. And that's really the secret to success of that little website that I built, was that, because I knew when someone was clicking on a link and that, so I was getting information to be able to get them back. Long story short, the website got hacked and I lost it all after a month when I quit my engineer frame job.
Oh, God.
And I had to start from the scratch again. Start from the scratch was a very interesting journey, and it was a great journey, actually. And I have to say thank you to my wife for this, because I was trying to do what I was doing, which was basically just hiding behind a computer and building something again from scratch, basically another website. And then my wife went on and tapped onto my shoulder and said, "You're very stressed, but a lot about this stuff. Why don't you go out and help people to learn and to do this for them, so they, because they don't know what you actually know and you'll be good at this." And Yeah, basically, that was the start of what I'm doing today. Basically, I started going to networking groups and I started meeting with other business owners. And yeah, definitely there was the need for someone to help them with systems and teaching them about those learnings that I actually had from the online world and et cetera.
Wow.
And that's basically the start of all that. And that brought me to where I am today.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of things in there, which just, and it's really interesting because, yeah, obviously we speak all the time. And there's a few things in there that I didn't know, actually. There's a few little things that I wasn't aware of, all of those little details in the story. So 2006, 2007, you started online. I started online about 2008. Similar situation, affiliate marketing, building websites, WordPress, figuring out how to do that. And the thing that I think that you touched on, and I think this is really, really key. And ladies and gents, if you're listening to this, I want you to just really take note of what Jorge said. And that is the money's in the follow-up. And I remember back in the day when I was doing network marketing, even earlier than that, we used to have one of our advisors to say to us, you know, you've got to follow up. You've got to follow up because that's really where the money is. And what I like about the work that you obviously did for that website and a lot of the work you do with our business and obviously in your own is to assist with that automation of follow-up, making sure those things don't fall through the cracks. And I want to just quickly address a point because for people listening to this podcast, they possibly think that automation is all digital, it's all tech, it's all hands-off done behind a computer. And I just want to ask you what your definition of automation is so that we can just set that scene for our conversation today.
Sure. For me, automation is, it's got really three elements onto it, and it's simplification, it's structure, and basically what it produces out of these two is a business that can scale. Yes, there are systems involved. Yes, there's a lot of online tech stuff involved, but it doesn't need to be as scary. So the intention of all these systems is to create something simple that delivers a result. And the result could be as simple as getting a phone call happening and or as simple as getting a booking out of that follow-up.
Yeah. So, mate, just on that simplification, having structure and scale, and you said it's to get an outcome. So if the outcome is to make the phone ring or to get something happening, if we apply this across the whole business, what sort of effect might the business owner experience as a result of getting this right?
Well, it's mostly as you put it on your own work, Jesse, is really working less and earning more at the end of the day. Is what we want is a business owner that can remove himself out of business with systems in place. And that could be an online system or is simply a procedure that someone else can follow.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So I want to just touch on your background, mate, because it is an interesting background. And before I met you, I'd never met anyone involved in process engineering. And what I always really like about our conversations, whether it's on Zoom like we're doing now, whether it's live here or when we travel, what I'm always enjoying with our conversations is your ability to think strategically as well as tactically. Can you just help me understand where the strategy begins and ends and where the tactics begin and end as well? Can you just help me understand or help the audience understand what that interface is and what needs to happen first?
Yeah, Jesse, and that's a common question, by the way. I get that all the time. And not only that, but it's also a common mistake that people make, which is they start the other way around. They basically start with the tactic and then they put the strategy. So to clarify that, how does it work? So the strategy, the way I see it, and many people see it differently, the way I put it is, where do you want to go? What is the outcome? What is the goal? And that's starting from the top level is, what's the goal of your business? Where do you want to take it? What is the objective? Is the objective to remove you from the business so you're more on the business owner role, or is the objective just to get more leads right now because that's what the business needs? And that evolves, by the way. Those goals change as the time goes, and what the business wants, the business owner wants out of the business also changes. So just to keep that in mind, the strategy is not a set on a stone thing that you, the document or idea that you put in place. It's actually something that evolves quite often. So that's the strategy. Strategy is really the main outcome. What do you want? And then from there, what I normally do is actually work backwards, right? So if you know where you want to go, then from there, you can start seeing clarity around what are the steps that you need to take, right? And those steps that you need to take is what I call tactics, right? which is really the tactical actions. So the actions that you need to take to get there. In the automation world, it would be, the strategy could be, we want the phone ringing, right? And we need to get 20 calls a week out of what we do in marketing, as an example. Then what are the tactics that we are going to follow for that? A lot of people outside marketing, what I call, which is SEO, Facebook ads, and all that, they will run in traffic into their website. And that's all those activities are part of the tactical exercise that will come into the flow for the automation process and the system that goes at the back of that, right? So the tactics that you will follow in the back end will depend on what are you doing in the front end. So often people see automation and systems as something detached, but it's not. It is important to know if you are doing SEO, then the strategy for automation might be slightly different to what you could do with a Facebook ad if you're running them into, if you're running those ads into specific landing page, as an example. So all that execution, that's what's the tactical level of the whole process. So simplifying all that is what is key. And that's where I'm going back to the first definition, which is simplify, structure, and scale. So if you understand that you have the strategy that will give you the structure for you to be able to simplify the tactics. And when you put those tactics in place, and then you put a system that will give you the scale.
Yeah, I love that. And Jorge, one of the things that, again, having worked with you closely now for a couple of years, one of the things that I really like is the simplify part in there as well. And because it's easy for these things to become overly complex, right? It's easy to add more and more moving pieces. And of course, the greater the complexity, the harder it is to manage, the more it's likely to break. Yeah, all of those things come into it. So from your perspective, how do you work on keeping it simple?
From keeping it simple is not over automating, put it that way, right? So if we can make the system to do what it needs to do in 3 steps, we don't want to put 5 just to make it fancy to the client, right? Or just to make it look nice. So if you want to get someone to call, right? And you know they use mostly SMSs, then we want to remove the emails and focus on SMS to make it simpler and achieve the outcome, right? Yeah. Again, the follow-up, there's so many different options for you to actually go through this. I often call the automation world a blank canvas because it really could, you could do anything these days with chatbots, with automation systems like ActiveCampaign, which is the main system we use, and with ClickFunnels, which is another system that exists out there for creating landing pages and so on. There's so many different moving parts that it makes it all super confusing. So the way you simplify is clarity. Put it that way. If you know the strategy, which is the outcome that you want, and already know those tactics that we want to follow, and we already know this, then that simplifies what systems are you going to use to be able to do it. So it's that clarity what really gives you the simplification. Because you don't know what you don't know, and that's where people get confused, and then you start doing things that are over the top just because you think that that's the correct way. But you don't know what you don't know. But first of all, if there's something that you could do, if you're looking to do systems, to put systems in place and automation, the first thing you got to do is clarity.
Yeah.
Be super clear about what you want.
I really love that. And listening to you speak, it reminds me of that great quote. And I can't remember which famous author said it. So I'm going to totally butcher this. But the quote is, "I would have written you a shorter letter, but I didn't have time." Because if you can do it in fewer steps, it's much more elegant than trying to have 5 steps, 6 steps, 7 steps, if we can keep it to 3 steps, which is why your business is 3 steps business, right? But if we can do it in 3 steps, that's much better than 5, 6, 7. But I think for the novices, it's really easy to suddenly go to 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 steps rather than going, what are the things that I really need? What's the clarity piece? What's the outcome? And I think it's also about 80-20 some of those things as well.
100%. And that goes back to the strategy, right? So what does the business need right now? Do you need leads? Do you need conversions? Or do you need to retain more of your customers with a recall system? So it all really depends on what they actually need. And then from there, you have the clarity to be able to decide and simplify.
Yeah, and it's really interesting. And that's sort of the work that you've been working with me on. We've been collaborating on building our own automation for our practice, which has been fantastic. And One of the things I find with a lot of the available practice management software that's around today is it really lacks really good automation. And even though the marketing people at those companies will say it has it, not in the way that I think it can and should be done. And you've been really instrumental in helping us build that into our practice and what we do. So getting that recall system right, making sure incomplete treatments followed up, really rigorous processes, all that sort of stuff has been tremendous, as well as, you know, post-operative care and so on. So we'll talk more about that another time, of course, but that's been really helpful. But if we could lift the lid off your head and examine your brain, which I know sounds very macabre, I'm curious to ask, what is it that you think about when it comes to systems? We've spoken about the strategy, we've spoken about clarity. Is there anything else in there that we need to be aware of as we're designing our systems for ourselves? Because again, it is such a huge source of leverage in business, and I just want to make sure that if there's any other things that people need to consider, we capture that for them today.
Sure. I would say the main thing is why. Why are you building something?
Yeah.
And it's not only on systems, but it's on anything. And that's something that I drive myself through all the time. It's like, why are we doing this? Is this for a specific objective, or is it just because I want to do it? And there's a big difference between those two. Mm-hmm. Definitely ask yourself why. Why is this important? Why is this needs to be done today or tomorrow, etc.? And that's a big drive of what I do and how I do things, is the why. And that clarifies what is important. And in systems is even most important in the way I said, because once you understand the why you need that system, then you'll give it the priority that it actually needs.
Yeah, totally. Okay. So earlier in our conversation, you alluded to mistakes. You alluded to the fact that one of the common mistakes is not getting the strategy right before the tactics. What other mistakes do you see commonly occurring in businesses where, you know, they're trying to install automation or leverage through systems?
There's three main mistakes that I normally see. The first one is the noise structure, which goes back to the noise strategy and putting tactics before and tactics before the strategy. That's the first one. The second one is automating. I already touched a little bit on that as well, but basically it is putting so much into it that it removes the whole actual experience of what the client or the person that is going through the system will have. And that's the main third mistake, is that people forget, or the business owner usually forgets about the customer experience and the client experience. And that's super important. So we often get too directed by the strategy and what we want as business owners, what the business owners really want out of it, that the customer is a little bit forgotten. That's the three main mistakes that I see, is the noise structure, over automating, and forgetting the customer experience.
Yeah, massive. Ladies and gents, if you've just tuned into our podcast, I'm having a conversation with my friend, my colleague, Jorge Gasca from Three Steps Business. Jorge is intimately involved in both the Savvy Dentist business as well as our dental practice, and he's my go-to guy when it comes to systemization and systems thinking. And what we've been able to work with Jorge on is, you know, making sure our systems are operating smoothly, consistently. And that's really what we're trying to unpack today. So you can take those lessons that we've learned and hopefully apply them to your business as well. Jorge, I want to talk a little bit about trends for a moment, because the automation piece is something I've been wanting to introduce into dentistry for 10 years now. Ever since 2008, 2009, when I first got online, I could easily see at that time the opportunity that existed within dentistry. And to date, I don't think that that's really been capitalized on. And yes, you and I are working on something there. But what I want to talk about is the trend of personalization, hyper-personalization. So obviously, there's a lot of data in the world. Data is big business. Everyone seems to be collecting data and personalized marketing. We can do retargeting. We can do all that sort of stuff. When it comes to automation, how do we maintain automation but create personalization at the same time? Because not all of our patients, not all of our customers, carbon copies of one another. They've all got different needs. They've all got different hopes and aspirations. How is it that we can create a degree of personalization in the process?
Great question, Jesse. That's an interesting topic, because that, I mean, going a bit deeper onto that, that all goes down into AI and machine learning, really. That's where it's going.
Yeah.
To put it simply. But how do we do this? How can we do it now in a simpler way without having to understand a machine, or without teaching a machine? It's really number one, understanding our customer.
Yep.
And then number two is capturing data. You capture data points of basically their desires, aspirations, and so on. And it could be as simple as having a conversation, but then in them putting those data points into your database, then at least next time that you speak to them, you can make a reference to that. And I was having a conversation yesterday actually with someone, and that conversation came up in which they do automation to personalize, but they actually personalize the conversation. So the system stays the same, right? It's a linear system in a way, but then the conversation, that's when you can personalize. And I often say you can automate the process, but personalize experience, right? Then you can have the two of the best worlds. You can still have a standard process that everyone does, everyone goes through, but the messaging, that is what changed. That's a way that you could simplify that process without having to invest into an AI bot or getting someone to develop that and et cetera. But yeah, definitely the trend is hyper-personalization. That's what people want. That's what people expect. And they, even though you've spoken to them a couple of times, they expect you to know about them a lot more than that, which is an interesting thing that is happening these days, is how to manage that. And I get that question often. But yeah, so simply just gather data points and enjoy the conversation.
Yeah. And again, I think it's really interesting because gathering the data points and capturing that data is really key, because that's the information that we need to be able to inform the communication that we have with the patient. And most of us are familiar in the practice management software of capturing social notes. But for me, that's not really enough. And I think we need to have a better process around that. And one of the things that we talk about is making sure that all of our systems are, we have a systemized and humanized concept. What you've just said, you have a linear process, and it's the interaction, the human to human interaction, which provides that flavor, that salt and pepper, the seasoning, the spice to personalize it. But equally with that human to human communication, that's where we talk about conversational frameworks. So we can still make sure that there's a degree of systemization in there, but we've got flexibility. So we call that freestyling in the framework, which you and I talk about all the time. So there's the system, the automation, and then there's the framework, the conversational framework that allows the front desk person or the dentist or whoever it is to be able to freestyle and still follow a structure, but get a personalized outcome. So I think those things go hand in hand. Do you agree with that, mate?
100%, Jesse. And just to add to that, I keep in mind that people buy from people.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, that's really the case. The system only supports the process. The system will only help you get there faster, but the system often doesn't make the sale or will help you build the relationship, but the system doesn't build it for you.
Yeah, fantastic. So mate, as we think about introducing automation into the practice, we've spoken about a few things to consider. We've spoken about a few things to be wary of. We've spoken about some trends. Are there any other things we need to know or be wary of, or any other trends we need to keep in mind as we go through implementing this into our own business?
Sure, Jesse. One of the things that I probably didn't touch much on is choosing a system. And that's a big piece of the whole puzzle. And when you are on the process of automating, that question will come down. Even if you follow the process of the strategy, then tactics and so on, the system that will support your strategy and tactics is key for you to have success on the process. So yeah, just when you're going to that, just make sure that you choose a system, the best system you can afford any particular point in time, that will support you, that strategy in the long term. Often people just try to save money on the system, on the framework, the software that they're using, but then often realize that they will often shortly after, they actually need to pay for a migration into a big system because they outgrow it.
Ask me how I learned that lesson. I've walked a mile in those shoes. Anyway, that was a lesson hard learned, folks. I can tell you that I was on a system. We had to migrate. Jorge managed it for me, thankfully, and it was seamless from my end, but I don't know if it was as easy for you because there was some legacy issues we had to contend with. So thank you for all of that. Mate, if there were a couple of key points, the gospel according to Jorge when it comes to systemization, helping people scale their practice, because that's really what it is. You know, how do we go from profitable practice to a scalable practice? We do that through leverage of team. We do that through leverage of systems. And we've spoken in depth around particularly the systems part today. The team part is really important as well. Is there anything you want to add around the team part? Because I know you're very adept at running teams.
Yeah, the team is super important. I mean, you kind of make decisions that they are going to be able to produce for you, basically produce, right? Then again, choosing a system, from writing a procedure, from using the language that they will understand, you always need to be thinking about the person who's going to be doing it if it is not yourself, right? It's easy enough when you're doing things yourself, but once you need to get into teaching someone, so another system that you probably want to put in place so you can get things out of your head into someone else for them to do it. And that on itself is a system.
I'm a big believer, Jorge, that as people scale up, we need to see our businesses as training institutions, right? Because, and that comes through systems and team. And for most people, training is a bit of a by-the-by thing, something, you know, we tend to learn on the job, throw them in the deep end, in other words, basically figure it out as you go. My personal view is if you really want to scale your business, whether it's a dental practice or otherwise, but we're talking about dental practices here, is you have to see your practice as a training institution first and foremost, so we can bring people up to speed as quickly as possible. And to do that, we need that system, we need those resources, and we need a reproducible project or program to be able to do that consistently day in, day out. And I know that's something, again, you've helped us with. So that training institution part, I think, is key.
100%, yes. And I will add one more thing to that. And I think it's the mindset as well. You need to start creating systems mindset in which you can see trends within your own business, in which you can see, for example, FAQs, frequently asked questions, that you can start creating processes around those and make a list of the 10 questions that you get all the time. And then you do document those and put them into a software that everyone can access them. But it's that mindset of thinking, what is repetitive that I can create a system for, and then, or I can put a software into.
Yeah, I love it. I really love it. That's fantastic. Mate, you've been really generous today, and I love our conversations always, and I love hanging out with you, and we get to do that a bit. And today, we actually got to hit record on one of our conversations, which is always fun. If we were to ask you for the gospel according to Jorge, when it comes to scaling your business, whether it's to do with systems or team or anything else, any last thoughts you'd want to leave the audience with?
It's as simple as the first three words that we share at the beginning is simplify a structure that will give you the scale.
Yeah. Love it. All right, mate. Thank you so much. You're an absolute gentleman. I love our conversations, and thank you for all the work you've done with me on a personal level. And thank you for sharing so generously with our audience today, mate. You're a scholar and a gentleman, and I'm very pleased to be able to count you as a good buddy. So thanks, mate.
Thanks, Jesse. Anytime. And I can be reached out at any time via LinkedIn. If you are listening to this recording and want to reach out and bounce a few ideas, feel free to follow me on LinkedIn.
Too easy. Thanks, mate.
Thanks, Jesse.
Cheers.
Thank you for listening to the Savvy Dentist podcast with Dr. Jesse Green. For more free tools and resources, join the free Facebook group. Visit drjessegreen.com/Facebook. And for more episodes, visit drjessegreen.com/savvydentist.